Well, good morning, and welcome all of you here on this Christmas morning. Also, those of you that have joined us on our phone patch and via our Facebook Live. The Word tells us that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. My prayer is that the joy of peace would be with each one of you, that God would supply faith within your heart to look, to trust in those promises that He has given, promises that are sure even unto this day. We're going to open our service with song number 14. All of our songs will be from our main hymnal. Number 14, Eight Angels from the Realms of Glory.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, on this blessed Christmas day, we do come and worship the newborn King. And we're thankful that a newborn King can remain new to us. This day of joy is here again. That even though this Son was born before the foundations of the world, that each day when we arise, we can recognize that that day star has dawned, that the Son has been given for us, and what a precious time of year that we can gather and remember this, and what a precious time that we can gather as families, we can celebrate, we can give the gifts, these natural gifts that come out of your bountiful storehouse, with the acknowledgement that these material things are simply blessings for here, but we know that there is a blessing for eternity, and that is the faith provided by your Son, Jesus Christ, on that when he came as that babe 2,000 plus years ago, when he came in such an innocuous place to be born in a stable, to have a bed as a manger, and yet to be visited by kings, to be proclaimed by angels, and to come and live this perfect and sinless life, and to die that brutal death, but not to remain in that grave, as we will celebrate at that time of Easter, but to rise victorious over death, hell, and the devil in our behalf. Father, we thank you for the many natural blessings we have spoken of, the food and the shelter and the homes that we have, and the light that we see at this time of year, all the different lights even that we have across the front of the church here remind us of that light of your love in this dark world, this world that is dead and dying, but each one needs you, and we know that is your will that none would perish. And we're thankful also for the children that come home. We know that it's a wonderful time in a natural sense, but we see the spiritual picture that you as our Father are desiring that your children would come to that heavenly home as well, that we would one day cross that Jordan River. And by faith we look and we see that day when our hope will become sight. Now, Father, we offer the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. As I often do, I forgot to mention that Barbara Holmgren is doing much better, and we would continue to pray that her health would continue to improve. We're going to continue with 27, What Child Is This?
Thank you.
going to do something a little different this morning. Instead of reading the psalm for today is 98, and it's a wonderful portion of scripture. But I'm going to read probably a non-traditional Christmas portion that I read to my children last evening, one that I have read quite a bit over the last week or two. It's from Zephaniah, page, I believe it's 688 in your Pew Bible. My children and my wife will have to hear this again, but I think it's something we could read every day. I'm going to read Zephaniah 3, 14 through 17. And read in Jesus' name. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments, he has cast out thine enemies. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Seems like this Advent we've had some theme about singing. Last week, last Sunday, that was brought forth from one of Dad's Advent service earlier in the month, was the same. And then this came up in one of my daily readings. Singing comes from a joyful heart, doesn't it? I was telling the kids last night that I didn't always understand that term, daughter of Zion, from a man's perspective. But I think it's come to me from the acknowledgement of being the bride of Christ, and to have a wife that represents that well in my life, a bride, to be joyous and to rejoice with all your heart. To be the daughter of Zion is a beautiful thing, to be the bride of Christ. Then we see in verse 15 that the Lord has taken away judgments and cast out enemies. And then this part, that the King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. And I thought of this Christmas time, and we think of this babe coming to join us, to be here in the midst. Our King is not some distant or remote King, but one that has come to earth to be in our midst. We gather as families, we enjoy each other's companies, we enjoy being in the midst of each other. But we have a King and a Savior and a God that is in our midst as well. It's not something that we think of only as some event in history, but we can think of as a Savior that has come to earth. And then we have in verse 16, the admonishment to fear not. We have so much often in life that we are anxious of, the day-to-day tasks that we have, even the political environment that we live in, so much that can cause anxiety. But the writer says, fear not, and to Zion, to us as the church, and let not our hands be slack. When our hands are slack, it's a defeated posture. We had talked recently, even in a Bible study, about Abraham having his hands raised, and we talked about that with the prayer. So often prayer is with your hands raised. But also when we raise our hands, we think of little children when they're given a gift. Their hands are raised to receive that gift, and they receive it gladly. I'm not the best at receiving gifts. We saw that yesterday, even in our own family. But if we could all raise our hands and receive the gift of Jesus, what a wonderful thing that is. Then he repeats again in 17, and this is such a precious verse. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Here he is again in our midst. But then this, he will rejoice over thee with joy. And he rests in his love. And then the singing comes up. And it's our God singing over us. He will joy over thee with singing. Apologize for the emotions, but it just touched me so much. We'll continue with, is that 98 or 10? 10, joy to the world.
First of all, greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May it abide with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. I think if the message of Christmas, the events that took place, were simply historical, we could easily analyze them with our minds, couldn't we? And that's all there would be to it. It would be just an event in history. But we have a God who speaks to us, as Hans mentioned, personally. He deals with the heart. He deals with that which is part of the emotions that we have. And I think it's important to recognize that this is a gift that God has given us, not only to simply analyze things with a totally of the mind, the analytical minds that we have that have understood the various courses that the world has brought, the mathematics, the sciences, they are a blessing to us. But we know that there is much more than just the simple existence that we have. It is that which God has created for us. The gift that we have is He has provided faith, faith to believe the matters of the heart. The Apostle Paul writes that, you know, that this matter which God brings to us is that which our heart believes. We believe in what He has caused to be written. You know, I think the mind, if it would look at the Scriptures, we would easily have to say that there's just no way that these Scriptures could continue. You know, they were written by different people at different times. There was no collaboration. I mean, that was an impossibility. Today's world, we live in a world that we can easily collaborate around the world with individuals on an instant. But then it was written on skins, written on parchments. You know, it was carried by the word that they heard one from another. You know, and the blessing is that God has provided for us this, which is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the faith to believe and to trust in His Word. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John. It is the Gospel set aside for today. And after I read the Gospel, then we're going to continue with song number 19. So don't put your songbooks away quite yet. We'll read this in Jesus' name. This is the Gospel of John, and that is found on page 778 in your pew Bible. Reading in Jesus' name. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, and even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen the God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And now let's sing number 19, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Joy, 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 joy
amazing, isn't it, the invitation that the Scriptures have for us. How many times do we hear the word come? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, the gift that our God has is that He supplies. You know, and He draws us, He calls us. Hans mentioned how special it is to see sons, I guess in this case, come back home again, those that have left. You know, you take a little bit with you when you go, but you bring it back when you come. You know, we have not only Isaiah and Clint, but Bjorn, it's been gone many years, and Nikita. It's special to see each one of you. You know, the gift that we have is that we share in a fellowship that transcends the borders of any walls, of any city, of any country, because it's an eternal gift that God gives to us. You know, that's what John is writing about here in the gospel. This third gospel that speaks really of the Christmas season, even though he doesn't mention the birth of Christ. You know, we have that in Luke. We've read Luke last Sunday. We heard the gospel read, and I'm sure each one of you have read that second chapter of Luke. This season and many, many times in your life. The Gospel of Matthew deals with Joseph. You know, we read that briefly also. The fact that, you know, Joseph was a part, even though he wasn't one of the prominent individuals. We hear about Mary and Joseph, but that's what we hear. We don't see a lot of Joseph, but his obedience, the fact that he believed God, he trusted in what God would supply. I think that's important for us to recognize that it is not always our part to have the same part as others, but that, you know, we would trust God to lead us and to bring the strength to do according to His will, that we would be within His will. You know, the Word tells us that He named Jesus. He took Jesus in as an adopted son. He tells us in the end of the first chapter of Matthew, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. You know, and then Joseph being raised from sleep as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. This name given by God to be able to be obedient to that word. What a blessing to have that within our hearts and within our lives. And so John, as he takes us to something that I think I have looked at over and over again, perhaps you have also, I trust that you have, he talks about in the beginning. We know Genesis starts the same way, doesn't it? It tells us, in the beginning, God. How much more do we need than to simply understand that what God has provided for us is a blessing unto us because He has called us unto salvation, unto redemption. And so John begins with that. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You know, we often speak of the Word, and we're referring perhaps sometimes just to the Scriptures. But this, which is interpreted Word here by the King James and many of the other translators, in the Greek is Logos. You know, the word that is defined, and I wrote down the definitions here. It says, by whom, which is what Logos means, everything that came through him, eternally existing, all things were made by him. John tells us that, doesn't he? You know, some have taken this to be from Plato, who interacted with the Jewish people. This comes out of the Old Testament, the fact that that God is eternal, that His existence and His creation of all things that we see has been believed from the beginning of time. It tells us that God's eternal self-expression, Logos, in other words, He was in Christ, as Paul says, reconciling the world unto Himself. It's personal and not abstract. You know, that deals with the heart, doesn't it? You know, my mind deals with the abstract. I can calculate, you know, drywall. It was a part of my life for close to 40 years. I can analyze those things. But what God deals with, he speaks to us personally, and he speaks to the heart. That he was fully divine. And this is John's intent in his gospel. He's the last gospel that has been written. And he brings out the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But also the fact that Logos deals with the fact that Jesus Christ is incarnate. The fact that he was born of a virgin. How important for us to meditate on the scriptures that were written so long ago and yet are so alive today. Remember Paul on Mars Hill, what did he say? He said, it's in him. This is in Jesus Christ, whom we live and move and have our being. We are alive because of that. We can sing with joy from the heart because of Jesus Christ, because of this birth. You know, I love music, and I've listened to music since I was, you know, I got my first transistor radio, you know. And there's a happiness in music, and even in the secular music many times. I listen to words. I'm not as much a musician as I listen to words. And yes, the music enhances that so many times. And there's a happiness sometimes in the secular music. But in what we sing as believers, you know, in the word that we sing, because we are singing the word when we're singing these hymns and songs, you know, there's a joy. There's an abiding joy, a true joy, a deep joy. Because we do not have to fear. Because that's what the word tells us. The same was in the beginning with God. This Jesus Christ who is eternal, you know, and the mind struggles with grasping the triune God. You know, the world is easily tries to tear apart that fact that there is a triune God. Three and yet one. You know, I look back at my days in confirmation and I appreciated it's a simplistic and it certainly doesn't carry all the aspects of the description of what the triune God is. But when we think of H2O, which is what in liquid form? It's water. It's also in vapor, isn't it? Same substance. But it's also ice. It's frozen. They have different characteristics, different ways they manifest themselves. And so is our God. God the Father, Jesus Christ, his Son, and the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, that touches our hearts, that brings about that work of salvation, that work of redemption through the Word at God's command. The gift that he has is that he has loved us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. John recorded that, didn't he? Those words of Jesus. He says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You know, that's astounding, isn't it? You know, you look at what we have in this world and the revelation that has come to man, and you know, I mean, if God had chosen, he could have revealed the entirety of what we have today back in 2000, but he didn't. He's allowed that revelation to develop, you know, to provide for man and for humanity, for the continuance of civilization. You know, he's given those blessings, the understanding, the meditation, those that have taken interest in those things. They're all by his hand, because he has given unto us that gift of the mind to be able to know. But he's also given the gift of the heart. And you know, that's something that hasn't changed. That's something that hasn't developed as the world around us has developed, because it was full and complete in the beginning. The promise in the garden, you know, when mankind fell, when Adam and Eve fell, was that Savior would come. That though his heel would be bruised, he would crush the head of the serpent. The promise of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ, dying upon that middle cross of Calvary, taking upon himself not his own sins, but our sins, when he suffered and died, but didn't remain in the grave. He arose victorious over death, over hell, and over the devil on our behalf, so that today we can rejoice. We can look at this Christmas, this morning, when the Christ child is born, you know, in the fellowships that we share, and we can truly rejoice like those angels. You know, the singing of our God over us is a marvelous thought, isn't it? We've had angels that sang, you know, they sang to the shepherds. They sent the message to these lowly shepherds. Singing transcends all classes of humanity, doesn't it? There's no racial divides in singing. It is something that is universal to humanity. And it brings to us that which God himself has created. And for what purpose? John tells us, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, when we think of life, we think of it in a selfish terms, as, you know, the world does. We think of, oh, I got to get what I can for now and enjoy everything I can for now because that's all there is. You know, and to me, that's a very depressing thought. I'm not sure I could live that way. But to know that what God has given us here in time is but a simple glimpse of what he has in store for us for eternity. To know that one day we will sing a song of salvation. You know, maybe according to Zephaniah, God will be singing with us. It's an eternal song of salvation, singing with the angels. But to be able to sing within our own hearts even today, that joy that dwells therein, because we have that knowledge of what? Our sin debt has been paid. That's the gospel. It says, believe today. Today is the day of grace. Nothing's promised for tomorrow. Today is what's important. That's how personal our God is. He speaks to us and he says, come unto me. He says, I will supply. And then John says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Another translation says that the darkness did not overcome that light. You know, that's one of the natural principles of light, isn't it? It can't overcome darkness. It's only light that overcomes, or can't overcome light. It's only light that overcomes darkness. Because the darkness of the mind of man, and it doesn't matter if we're Greek or, you know, we're Gentiles as we are, whether we're Jewish, you know, the mind and the heart of man is darkness because of sin. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, they brought to us something that, you know, none of us would desire to give to anyone else, and yet it has come. That sin nature that we have that has been a part of us, God has overcome. The light of the world, Jesus Christ, came for that purpose. And if you, dear brother and sister, were the only one on earth, he would have still come. He would have still said, come unto me, you who are heavy, burdened and heavy laden. He says, come unto me. He says, I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to supply for you. His love towards us is that which he brings so that that darkness would be overcome. And then St. John, which was the disciple of Jesus that wrote this, speaks of another John. He says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Speaking of John the Baptist, as we know, he was prophesied in the Old Testament from the prophet Isaiah. Very clear in the 40th chapter of Isaiah that he speaks of this one that was going to come and prepare the way of the Lord. The very fact that he could come and be a part of what the fulfillment of this prophecy is. Third verse of chapter 40 in Isaiah says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How many people in this world don't know about Christmas or Easter? I dare say there's very few. You know, there has been the word translated into virtually every language in the world. We have a cousin's daughter that has set her life into translation, working with a group of translators to find even the most obscure people that do not have this word written for them. You know, what a blessing that we have that energy and that desire within the heart of those that believe to share this message of the gospel, not to conquer, you know, because that's our humanity. You know, we've seen that played out in history as man has endeavored, even under the name of Christ, to spread the gospel by demand. That's not how the word comes. The word comes full and free. It speaks to us. It comes with a voice, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And God has given us those ears to hear and hearts to believe that which God desires to communicate to us. That message of the gospel that you can believe today, that your sins are forgiven, they're removed as far as the east is from the west, because Jesus Christ died upon that cross of Calvary. And because he has been given a name above every name, you can believe and trust in this, what this word proclaims unto you, this witness that speaks to us, this witness that speaks to us of repentance, of turning from sin, of serving self unto serving our God and our neighbor. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Speaking of Jesus here again, this gift that God has given to us, the one who has come to light the world, to light your world, to say unto you that this is the gift that God desires for you personally. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, or through him, and the world knew him not. You know, this is the indictment upon all of humanity, isn't it? Paul writes that in Romans, doesn't he? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul didn't write that as an excuse, and I don't believe that John did either. But he's saying that this is the fact. You know, if we want to deal in facts, this is a fact that of the humanity that we live in. That he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. You know, the fact that we ourselves cannot approach unto God outside of Jesus Christ. Outside of that gift that the Word brings to us and the Spirit to be able to draw us. He says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and to them that believe on his name. In other words, it's God who brings us that power to receive and to believe. The gospel comes as it comes, you know, to us, you know, and it speaks to us in so many ways. I probably mentioned the story before of one of the elder, the pastor that has long passed away now. Ralph Davidson was at home with his brothers. They went into town, and they were not. You know, my good boys, I guess according to his mother's terminology. And he remembers her scrubbing the floor on her hands and knees and telling them, there's a better way, boys. That's all she said, there's a better way, boys. She didn't preach to them. She merely told them, there's a better way. And it wasn't until he was in a prison camp, under the direst of circumstances, that he remembered those words, that there's a better way. And he knew that he himself was not in a saved condition. And he pleaded with God, and he asked of God that if you let me out, if I can survive this, he says, I'm going to go home and I'm going to repent. Well, that repentance had begun already, hadn't it? You know, sometimes we simply look at the act of repentance and say, well, there was a repentance. But that work of repentance, sometimes it's lifelong, because it's God working within the heart, stirring up the heart, the Spirit, bringing back the words of Jesus, bringing back who we are and who Christ is. And it brings to us to that place where we recognize, where we receive what God himself has supplied. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that is the core matter, isn't it? It's faith. Faith to believe. Paul tells us, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing we can offer unto God but to believe and to know, first and foremost, that we are sinners in need of that grace, that we need a Savior, we need a physician, but then to come to that place of believing which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Isn't that amazing that God causes that to come into our lives? Not of blood. In other words, you know, looking at the Pharisees, the Jewish people who felt, well, simply because we're children of Abraham, we inherit this. Not by the will of man, you know, well, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to go on to God. No, he says, nor the will of the flesh. He says, but of God. We could go back forward a few chapters into the account that we've probably all heard many times, the story of the fact when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, you know, remember when he was addressing that issue, he says, he tells Nicodemus, he says, Jesus answering this question that Nicodemus had, he says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except thou doest them, except God be with him. And then Jesus answers him. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old, and how can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And this term born again, I know as a young believer, I struggled with that because I needed some kind of grand experience. And yet, as I felt my own sinfulness, as God awakened me to that fact, you know, and the fact that this word born again really means born from above. In other words, the Spirit of God coming to us, working within us, bringing us to a place of believing and trusting in what God has supplied. Not what I can do, not my abilities, but what God can supply. This is the promise that he has given. Because the Word has been made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now this Word that was made flesh on Christmas morning, this Word that God supplies even today, this Word which is Christ Jesus, full of grace and truth. And then he goes back to John. He says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is the one of whom I spake, of who he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. You know, John in his ministry, you know, it was entirely pointing unto Jesus Christ, entirely pointing unto that place that draws us to know that we are sinners in need of that grace. Pointing unto the one who he says, and of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Grace for grace. The free gift that God has supplied unto us. The free gift that brings us such joy. You know, the joy that we have in being together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as family members. You know, that's a free gift, isn't it? Because there's nothing required. You know, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and in our immediate families, we are our parents and children and grandparents and aunts and uncles and nieces and nephews. There's no requirement there because we are. We simply are. And that's what God calls us to be his child, to know him. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses brought that message of repentance through the law. Do this and you will live forever. And the proof has been that man cannot do. But grace and truth, the one who came as a little child, who walked upon this earth a sinless life, who suffered and died, became that one that supplies grace and truth unto us. And no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. In other words, we don't see God outside of Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. That's the psalmist. And I just want to close with, I think Hans mentioned, we had read from the prophet Isaiah back on the first Sunday of Advent, 12th chapter. It speaks of that day, doesn't it? Of this day. This day in which Christ is born. This day that you believe in your heart, that you trust this word. Isaiah writes, "And in that day shall thou say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things in this. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." The Holy One of Israel is in the midst of us, living in your heart by faith, dwelling within his children, to be able to share this message of God's love and of his grace unto a lost and dying world, so that darkness can be overcome. Unto him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue now with song number 16, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, number 16.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Let's ask the Lord to humble our hearts in closing prayer and in benediction. Gracious Father, we pray that you would give to each one of us that desire to be able to sing as the angels sing, to sing unto your glory. Strengthen us, Father, as we go forth each and every day. Dispel the darkness that surrounds us and bring forth that light which is the light of life. Now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The only announcement for today is we have service next Sunday at 11. So we'll close our service with song number 49, Our Day of Joy is Here Again.